Shock the System. Welcome to Dank Discussions with me, Calican CEO Maynard Breslow. In each episode, you'll learn from the trailblazers, leaders, entrepreneurs, and influencers in the ever-moving, ever-growing cannabis industry. Hey there, everybody. Welcome to Dank Discussions. Today, we're joined by Saul K. Saul is the CEO and founder of ICAN Israel Cannabis, the producer of Cannatech Global Events. Thank you for joining us today, Saul.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
No, it's such a pleasure. It really, really is. Really excited to have you on today, combining all my passions, and we'll get into that as well. And I know your passions as well. But first, I ask everybody the same question. We hinted at it at the beginning, but let our listeners know where you're based out of today.
I'm here in my home, Masqueret Batya. It's a little agricultural village, one of the first established in Israel. And you might hear some chickens in the background and a horse passing by. It's quite a unique place.
I love it. And yeah, that's the whole thing. You know, we're gonna get into obviously Israel's position in the market. And how it's such a leader around the world in so many different ways, and obviously talking about Cannatech. But yeah, you know, that's the whole thing here is, you know, I'm from LA originally, made Aliyah, and I've been living in Israel, and my whole passion is about cannabis, marketing Israel, everything combining. And I know that, everything's going really well here in Israel, or not sometimes, a lot. But, you know, I want to hear your personal experience and journey. You know, I know you're a pharmacist coming through from there, and how you kind of transition into the cannabis space. And tell me that story.
So I'm a pharmacist. I've had retail pharmacies, online pharmacies. I've been involved in international supply chains for pharmaceuticals for the last 25 years. And I walked into a small event in Tel Aviv 6 years ago called Cannatech, which was an ag tech company looking to raise some money and thought cannabis would be more exciting than agriculture. And that was kind of the first meeting that had ever happened in Israel outside of the scientific side of cannabis. And I walked in and I saw, wow, this could be big. This is, you know, we're completely mispositioned in how cannabis is being presented, both within Israel and going out of Israel. And there was a huge media opportunity to say, hang on, we can reposition cannabis and why Israel is special. And that's when me and my partner Jason decided to acquire Cannatech. And then we built it, across the world, leading with Israeli science, but also recognizing there's a global revolution happening in cannabis. And it's not focused only on California and Colorado, and it's happening everywhere, and everywhere has its own nuance. And Israel has its nuance. It's totally focused on medical. It's not interested in recreational. And, you know, that has provided a pathway in Israel for leading in R&D and science. But at the same time, you're sort of forgetting that there are 2 million smokers here of cannabis, or consumers of cannabis, if there were more advanced products, who are criminalized. And, you know, at the beginning of the journey, we were very focused on the medical side of cannabis. And then this beast of recreational and legalization in Canada and the public markets and everything, you know, that's happened along the way across the world. You know, we're about thought leadership. We're about where this should be, not where it is. And I think that's what people have really resonated with.
Well, there's no doubt. You know, I mean, cannabis, you know, we call about it an industry, and obviously it's a global industry. And like you said, everything has nuances, but it's so much of a community because of that reason that, you know, there's so many people obviously who want to get involved in the space, but the space has been here, you know, through the traditional markets. And people in the space, you know, it seems like there's kind of two places where there's people who have been here, people who are trying to get in, and the people who have been here pushing things. Like you said, it has to do with what's right for the people, right? And obviously, when I talk about on this podcast, or my clients or anything else that I, you know, get to split time between here and between LA and Israel, everybody gets so excited because, like you said, the R&D, it's all about the research and development. But, you know, like you said, to your point, it's unfortunate that they're having problems with the recreational side, because here in Tel Aviv, you can't walk down the street without someone smoking some weed or something, you know? So it's unfortunate that they try and deny that aspect when it's, you know, it's a growing market and needs to be regulated the right way and not just to turn the blind eye to it, so to speak.
It's, you know, worse than that. They're actually still giving people tickets and actively pursuing home growers. And it's, you know, where that's taxpayer money going to something that makes no sense. You know, how do we free Nama from prison in Russia? And I agree she should be free, but so should everyone else. You know, no one's really talking about that.
No, it's really tough, you know, and like you said, emerging global markets, and people are still sitting in jail, people are still being prosecuted, and while other people are benefiting from it, right, and making a good amount of money, obviously. So tell me a little bit more about, you know, the current Israeli market. What can we really expect? Because I know you sit here as an advisor to the Knesset, and, you know, said you don't not afraid of controversy. So I'd love to hear, you know, what can we expect actually in that regard, being able to allow people to go to a store and buy CBD. Not that big of a deal. We've been doing research here for 40 plus years. And it's the fact of the matter that you can't do that is kind of ridiculous. People are trying to find relief, you know, in other ways that aren't so healthy. So what can we do here in Israel in that regard?
It's tough. Israel doesn't have a government. We're going back to elections in another month. Yeah. I don't see that we're going to have a government after that. So Changing regulations, first and foremost, needs a lobby. I think we've got a very strong lobby, and there's a lot of sense to deregulating CBD, but there's no process that's going to allow us in the short term to do that. And then there's still the policy that people who are importing it are not, you know, are breaking the law. Uh-huh. So it's frustrating. It's incredibly frustrating that Israel is losing its lead in the global cannabis space.
Yeah.
You know, we've successfully in the last month, you know, one group brought in cannabis from Portugal, one group exported cannabis to the UK. So things are moving from an industry level. But that doesn't allow everybody to participate in this, you know, fourth industrial revolution that's happening. Those are big companies that are semi-well financed, some of them public, that are making big moves, and it's still not helping the patient. It's not a patient-centric model yet in Israel, in that if you really are suffering, can you get cannabis? Yes, but who do you go to? Which doctor? The doctors haven't yet been destigmatized enough to accept this. So you can get it. If you're suffering, go to your doctor, require it, request it. There are pathways. I've seen patients who have gone successfully through the process and get medical cannabis every month. But at the same time, the quality of product hasn't gone up and the price has gone up. And it's mostly because of regulatory bottlenecks that have been put in place that shouldn't be there. And there's a complete lack of transparency at the government level, and no clear policy of really what they're going to do, you know, to give better patient access and better transparency so you know which doctors to go to. And a realization that, you know what, cannabis is legal in so many other places. Maybe it's time to have that conversation here as well.
Yeah, it's so disappointing. You know, to your point, you know, have a colleague, he's a cancer patient, and here in Israel, it took him close to a year to get his, you know, medical license to be able to buy cannabis legally. And it's just ridiculous. Whereas, you know, you could go in and get Percocets, no problem, to deal with the pain. But to be able to get cannabis, you know, like you said, there's so many hoops to go through. And it's crazy. And like you said, it's losing our footing. And the people who suffer are the patients, not the policymakers, not the government. So it's not serving the people they're supposed to serve. And like you said, also losing a footing in the global market. Because when I talk to people and say, hey, I live in Israel, like I said, they get excited. They look at us as a global leader in this regard. And I don't think we're doing enough to maintain that footing, as you're saying. But you're doing something. You're doing amazing things. You know, you have a great pulse on it because, you know, with Canatech, TLV, it's the 5th year anniversary. I'm really excited about that. So, you know, what is the outlook, the current global outlook? How do people perceive Israel this time? And what can we do to get back into the game and continue to be a leader?
So Israel is still perceived as a leader. You know, the Canadian markets definitely took the spotlight in 2019, both with legalization happening there and such a robust activity on the capital side. But US is really where cannabis is. And they're coming now and saying, what makes me different, right? And the only thing that can differentiate you is deep technical knowledge, deep historical patient knowledge, and international brands that have already set up a footprint in somewhere like Israel, and there are other places. And that's what's attracting the rest of the world to come to Israel, to see those brands, those accelerated technologies in the hub of cannabis entrepreneurship. So that's kind of what Canatech is bringing together from across, you know, over 40 countries people from 40 countries attend.
Yeah, incredible. And, you know, are we still perceived as a leader just in the R&D, or is, you know, in the investment side as well? Can you talk about the economic side, what we have going on in the ecosystem here as well?
Yeah, look, there's a robust ecosystem here. You know, we've evaluated close to 1,000 cannabis companies at this point over 5 years. And every university has active researchers. The government is putting money. We've won a couple of grants at ICAN, you know, for research that we're doing in the Technion and Hebrew University. So it's an amazing ecosystem. It's just, when you bring business fundamentals into the conversation, cannabis doesn't yet have business fundamentals that are significant enough. And so now we're going back to more of a VC model. VCs believe in dreams and believe in futures. And we have to build it now in order to build that future. If it doesn't get funded, it doesn't happen in 2 years when the market clicks and turns. And the market will turn in 2 years. And I know why it will turn in 2 years. Because there's a current slowdown in the market. And it's a forced slowdown because big beverage, big agriculture, and big pharma, big distribution got slapped in the face when CBD hit them. And big beverage didn't have a pipeline ready of beverage. And so they need time to catch up, and pharma needs time to catch up, and ag needs time to catch up. And then it's going to turn from negative to positive, and they're all ready for it. That hasn't happened yet. And so I've actually felt a slowdown in general, and I think that's the reason.
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah, because, you know, we see the slowdown. And in America, you know, we talk about the slowdown being because of the lack of regulation or the wrong kind of regulation, you know, people taking shortcuts, and obviously the suppression of certain research, being able to do this. And people, obviously, they blame Big Pharma in a lot of ways. But you're saying that they're ready to get into it. It's just kind of, is it a matter of agriculture not being able to meet the demands at the moment? Is it just a matter that they got to get their ducks in order? What exactly is the holdup?
They got to get ready. They have to build a strategy. They have to build a pipeline. And they're all been looking at it. They're saying, okay, I don't know what it is yet. So let's slow this thing down. Let's see where it goes. Maybe that's just a pessimistic view, but I think that's kind of what's happening. Burned by CBD exploding into the market without regulation, without global regulation, with a huge gap in global regulation. It's really interesting to see a global perspective, but it's still a local focus. There are no true global players across the whole space, other than if you look at Tilray, who's moving flour from one place to another, and some of the others, it's still not scale.
Yeah, it's an emerging market, right? So there's still so much room for growth. Obviously, there's no big brands, there's nothing like that. Like you said, it kind of just slapped everybody in the face. Everybody just fell on everybody's lap. Now there's a couple things here that go along with that, right? You talk about the business practices within the cannabis industry that are lacking, and then we see people coming in who have the business practices but maybe don't have the experience in this market as it's emerging. And you've examined over 1,000 companies in the last 5 years. Before I get on my next question, I'll answer this. What's the best way to have somebody who has sound business practices, take the time to learn what's going on and integrate them, or people on the other side who know them, who've been in the market, maybe the traditional market for the last 20 years, and kind of incorporating better business practices, SOPs and stuff that they didn't have going on before. What's kind of the best way to tackle this, for the industry as a whole?
Strong teams and having the, experience beforehand. And if you don't have the experience, having the people on board that can complete the team. Not everyone can do everything. And that's a lesson I've learned over the last 5 years. Yep. So you have to bring in people with the expertise that complete the story and have a strong vision, but execute. And that's across, every startup, and that's how, you either pick winners or you pick losers. And the best is if you can pick more winners than losers.
Yeah. It's always about having your aces in your places, right? Having the right team, having people around you, being able to delegate, and everybody having their strengths. And not everybody looking the same, dressing the same mentality, being able to bring different ideas to the table, people who look different. And, before I transition back to Canatech and the world market and the different place you're in, just building off of something else you said was about, getting the ducks in the row, all these companies wanting to get into it. Do you feel like it is something that, they didn't know about, right? They're like, holy crap, what is this CBD thing? Why is it exploding? Is it something they now are seeing the benefit in and want to get into it because they say, okay, wow, okay, we're a pharmaceutical company. We see that there's something real here. Now let's slow our horses. Let's figure out what's going on over here. Or is it something that they just see cash signs and they want to get into because they want to get in on get a piece of the pie?
I think it's both. This, as you said, is an industry led by passion. Yes. So there's a lot of passionate people who want to come into the industry and they want to figure out how to do it. Uh-huh. And Canatech is the way that we educate across a very broad spectrum, because it's agriculture, it's human, it's big business, it's pharmaceutical, it's beverage. Those groups don't usually mix together. And so Canatech provides a comfortable environment where that can happen, and we bring the thought leaders from across the world to show you know, from different regulations to patient stories to leading disruptive ag and medical technologies. And that's kind of how we've, you know, disrupted views across the world and brought media along with it, because without the growth in social media that we've seen for cannabis and now seeing for psychedelics and other plant-based medicines, only happens because of the passion of people. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the explosion of Facebook groups and LinkedIn groups and the amount of media attraction around this. And we found that in Israel back, you know, 5 years ago, we got a lot of media attracted to this topic because it wasn't cyber, it wasn't high tech, and it wasn't war. And all the big journalists in Israel need new stories. And this is a human story. Mm-hmm. And you can show the pain of people and how this miraculous plant is helping them. And the fact that no one in the Knesset's actually against it. There's broad acceptance from Arab parties to Haredi parties. Uh-huh. And yet we still can't move. So that brings this whole human story back. And that's why, you know, my focus is to say, what's a winner for me in cannabis? A patient-centric cannabis company. Uh-huh. If you're that, you will win. And if that means you're growing premium cannabis flower, that's great. But if, why are you doing that? Because you want the patient at the end of the day to have the best product and you're accelerating that, then that's something, you know, you would get behind. And that's one of the things that we, from that 30,000 foot view at Canatech, get to see across the world, which is kind of cool.
I love that. And that's a great segue now bringing in, you know, talking about Canatech all over the world. You know, you recently brought the conversation to Davos, right? And, you know, it's being able to make it a global conversation and bring awareness there and to literally involve, you know, the most powerful people in the world, right? So why is Canatech uniquely able to access and drive the conversation in Davos and make that something that is heard there?
Well, that's what Davos is. It's a gathering of world leaders, and the experience outside of the World Economic Forum in Davos is the big conversations. You had groups like PMI, Philip Morris, who were talking about the next generation of smoked products, right? Or unsmoked products. And you've got SAP and Facebook and Blackstone, and you've got every government throwing these lounges, these houses, which are both educational and pompous.
Yeah.
And you've got some great ones like this lounge. There was kosher food there. It was called the All Faith Lounge. And that was for different faiths to mix and mingle and talk. So you've That's got super cool. this global conversation happening, and people are there. You know, if Trump attends the WEF, maybe 150 of his lackeys attend what's going on outside the WEF. And then we have the opportunity to welcome them into a nice environment and educate them on what cannabis looks like from a global perspective and how they can get involved in doing something about it.
Yeah, and you know, obviously one of the main things that we talk about constantly is stigma. And you obviously have a unique perspective on being able, with your interactions in these situations, to understand the stigma. Now, what's the stigma in Davos, you know, with these leaders in these different, you know, financial areas, economic, government areas? What are people saying about cannabis in Davos?
There's positivity. There's, you know, a lot of emerging governments came in, places like Myanmar, Thailand, Ukraine, Belarus, right? We don't think of cannabis in terms of what's going to happen in China, right? And Thailand, and Thailand's moving quite quickly, and you know, it's very exciting when we start looking at the global population sizes that, you know, can benefit from cannabis. And so to see those markets opening up, looking at the economic potential, Myanmar is the lowest GDP country in the world, right? So they're saying, how do we get out of this? Maybe it's not medical cannabis, maybe it's hemp. And the hemp conversation was very, very strong in Davos, which is a new global agricultural crop that has so many uses, both medical and building materials, and you can create plastics and electronics. And it grows very quickly and doesn't require a lot of water. And that's a new hemp revolution that, you know, if cannabis is a gateway drug, it's a gateway to hemp, and it's a gateway to releasing all psychedelic or all plant-based medicine from regulation that is stigmatized.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. I think we barely scratched the surface, you know, talking about disrupting so many industries, which is, I think, what a lot of industries are scared of, right? And why there was prohibition in America for the last 80 years. Or it's not just about the medicine. It's not just about the cannabinoids. It's about the plant itself. And there's so many benefits that go along with it that we're just barely being able to scratch the surface. But, you know, another thing we're scratching the surface of, and we touched on it slightly a little bit, and also a lot of stigma around it as well. We're trying to change that, you know, with this fifth year anniversary of Cannatech Tel Aviv. You know, there's another section you're opening up, right? It's focused around, once again, the nature-based medicine, you know, the renaissance around the world. I know it's a growing topic everywhere, and that's the psychedelic medicine as well. And can you kind of talk about how this emerged as a focus as well? And how there's, you know, it's similar and different to the cannabis side, the cannabis experience?
Sure. So, you know, again, I'm looking at a new industry being born from the sidelines, and it's a robust industry that is patient-centric, about helping in mental illness, about discovering how psychedelics can be used in integrative medicine. Looking at some of the models that exist around training people to what they call TRIPSIT, which is, you know, having specialists who are there to guide you in your psychedelic journey, and get a mental and health benefit. This isn't about recreational. And then alongside that, you've got deregulation happening in Holland, which has been deregulated as long as cannabis, and an explosion there. You've got ketamine clinics in the US popping up. You've got deregulation happening in California, Colorado. And as you know, if there's a black market, then the Canadian government will regulate to drive out the black market. So that will happen, which is kind of a very similar pathway to cannabis. And then you've got that social explosion. I don't know if I'm the only one seeing it, but it's everywhere about psychedelics, from shows on Netflix to documentaries that are coming out to, you know, amazing personalities that have been looking at this for so long. And, you know, I'm coming into this, and I'm only able to do that because of the work that's been done before and the giants that exist. And so I sort of connected to my network to see who I know in that space. And it ends up that we pulled together a whole new conference called SciTech. And that's gotten immense media attention. Just that, you know, we're well positioned to create a new ecosystem here that is going to drive across the revolution that's happening and the renaissance, as you said, in plant-based medicines that have been overregulated or misregulated.
Wow, that's incredible. What is the ultimate goal of SciTech? Is it to bring more awareness here to this once again, to kind of help with the regulation? What is the ultimate goal?
So first and foremost, to be a thought leadership platform moving forward. I have plans with SciTech, the company, and we're going to do a transaction there with a public company called eHave. That's on the business side, but on the goal of SciTech is first and foremost to put psychedelics into the media. Mm-hmm. We will build this platform across the globe. We're going to take it next to the Netherlands and after that to the United States with the goal of creating the ecosystem. My goal from an ecosystem is I get to participate in that. I get to invest in young entrepreneurs, in great projects, in, you know, piecing together the pieces that are on this board right now and coming out with something that makes sense. And that's what, you know, building an ecosystem really is.
Incredible. And really excited about that. Like you said, I mean, this is just everywhere now, you know, being from LA, seeing what's going on there. This is a topic that is on the forefront of everybody's mind and everybody's tongue at the moment. And it's kind of come out of nowhere. You know, it's been something that obviously from the 60s and the not so well hidden secret, you know, of all the research that's been done in America over the years. So I would love to hear you speak as well on, you know, we talk about stigma with cannabis, you know, talking about the stigma with the psychedelics. What do people think about that? And not only that, but the research. What are we trying to get here with the psychedelics as well? What are we trying to help? What kind of people are we trying to help? And what's the goal for that as well?
So if we look at MDMA, so there's a group called MAPS, started by Rick Doblin, who's speaking at SciTech. And he has been researching MDMA, which was made illegal by the FDA in the 80s. And he's built a whole network of people who can treat with MDMA. It's not about the drug, it's about psychotherapy assisted with psychedelics. So it's about the therapy. It's about anyone who has anxiety, depression. If you think about the anxiety that comes through a diagnosis of cancer, right? What are we treating that with today? We're not.
And the emotional aspects, right? Everything that comes
right. This is, wow. You know, as much as cannabis treats the body and you know, a little bit of the mind with things like Parkinson's and epilepsy, and you know, it treats mind and body. This is treats your nefesh, your soul, and hopefully will make humans better.
Amazing. I mean, it's so exciting. Like, you know, like you said, we focus so much on obviously curing the disease in itself, but what about the impact it's having on people, you know, and how can we help that as well in the brain chemistry and everything else that goes on?
I got a statistic from Dr. Rachel Yehuda in the US. She's a PTSD researcher. She's been in the trenches for years. And PTSD costs the VA in the US about $60 billion a year.
Wow. Wow. And yet people
can't. What's the cost to the society, like in general? It's an immense amount of money. And that's PTSD in one group. Who get PTSD from the army, but you get PTSD from so many other things.
It's incredible. It really is incredible because, you know, that goes back to the CBD and how people are not able to get their medicine or their, you know, the stigma associated with it. And like you said, not just the monetary cost, $60 billion is an incredible number. You know, to even try and wrap your head around it is incredible. But the social costs, right? The people, the lives, these are real people with souls you know, that brings me to my next question, you know, because, you know, you mentioned the nefesh, you know, you're here in Israel, you know, I'm a religious Jew. I'm very grateful, you know, keeping Shabbat, keeping kosher, learning, trying to grow and be the best Maynard I can be. Now, how do we, you know, I think another renaissance that we're having here is with the side part, the spiritual aspect of what we're talking about with the cannabis, with the psychedelics, and being in Israel, of course, and combining everything together. What is your ultimate goal? You know, Saul is a Saul K, right? Is your own neshama, your own person, here to combine them, you know, and to really bring healing to the world on a larger scale than just, you know, the economic side of it and everything like that, to really heal what's inside of people.
I think if I can get the message out more and that affects someone to do something, that's what I want. And the message ultimately is access for a patient that needs whatever it is he needs. And, you know, that is a big, big ask. There's so many complexities in doing this. But stigmatizing hasn't worked. Regulating it hasn't worked. Criminalizing it has been an absolute disaster. So why are we doing those things still? Yeah. And if we could just stop and reset, if there was like a reset button, but there isn't. So you've got to work through it. You've got to work with them. You've got to help educate. And I think that's all I can do.
Wow. Now, you know, as we're winding down a little bit, I mean, that's the whole thing, right? Is re-educating people and take away the stigma. What do you see the biggest challenges for the industry, the cannabis industry, this healing industry, right? This plant-based industry, with what, you know, moving forward, how can we overcome those challenges of stigma and everything like that?
The stigma for psychedelics is less than for cannabis for some reason.
Really? Wow. Wow.
Again, you're dealing with mental health initially, and it's going to take time. It's not going to explode overnight. The mushroom, the easy access, the you know, rapid adoption on that side will force regulators to have a look at this. And you know, they will either apply what they did with cannabis, or they'll say, we're going to do a whole new system. Or they could do, you know, just rapid decriminalization. This is usually something that is, you know, 1-to-1, 1-to-4, 1-to-5, and see what happens. These are very, very safe, you know, traditional medicines that have existed for a long time.
Yeah.
And so our job is to educate that it's not a recreational drug with psychedelics. Mm-hmm. It is about set and setting. It is about therapy. It's about working on yourself. And that needs education as much as we needed education that CBD is good for inflammatory diseases, and THC works for, you know, nausea in cancer therapy with, chemotherapy.
And that's stunning that, you know, the psychedelics has less stigma associated, and that just goes to show how much the kind of propaganda that's been created over the last 100 years. What the effect it's had on us, really, you know, from Reefer Madness, all that stuff. Because as you said, this is a medicine. This is something that's been around Eastern medicine. You know, we're kind of in tune, and we associate medicine with Western techniques, obviously. But this is something that's been around for thousands and thousands of years. It's not something new. It's something that's just being reintroduced again. You know, you're leading the way. So, you know, on that note, 5 years, Canatech, ICANN, PsychTech, all these amazing things are going on now. What can we expect from ICANN and Canatech in the future? What's coming up next?
Well, we're continuing with our global mission on re-educating, destigmatizing the world. So we're going to the Netherlands with both SciTech and Canatech. And we're looking at the Asian markets very carefully. Obviously, the flu at the moment isn't encouraging.
Say the least.
We have to be nimble and make smart decisions. So for ICANN, it's making smart decisions.
Very good, very good. And, you know, I always ask everybody on the show, but I'm very interested to hear your answer, obviously, with the level of, quote, you know, success that you've had and everything you've done. But how do you define success? What does success look like for you?
That's a hard question.
It's my favorite question.
I feel successful. So, you know, I've made amazing connections to solid people across the world who generally respect me. So I think that's success.
Definitely. You're definitely a global leader leading the way. You know, really grateful to have you on here. And be able to share that, you know, like I said, my passions, be able to combine them all and share that with the world as well. And now as we close, how can listeners find out more about ICANN? Obviously, Canatech's coming up very soon within the month and being able to connect with you.
So best for Canatech is our website, www.canna-tech.co. Or just look for us up on Google. We've got a fair amount of hits over on that interwebby thing.
The interwebs.
And you're, you can reach me on saul@israel-cannabis.com. The web's amazing for information.
Incredible. Connecting a global world, making it more accessible. And you're definitely accessible, Saul. Very fun to talk to. Really appreciate this. So I thank you once again for jumping on with me and sharing everything with us. Good luck to you, all the Canatech events, the rest of 2020 and beyond.
Thanks so much, and we'll see you at Canatech.
Sounds good. Can't wait. We at Calican are passionate about cannabis marketing, branding, and web design. If you're a cannabis entrepreneur and you know you need an uptake in business or an upgrade in the way your customers perceive you, come check us out at calican.com and schedule a time to speak with us. Plans start at $248. Thanks for listening in to Dank Discussions, and we are so grateful for each and every one of you. We want to continue making dank content you want, so give us some feedback about the topics you want covered. Feel free to reach out to us at grow@calican.com. That's CalacanN.com. And follow us on Instagram for our latest updates.